Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
This is Understanding Data Centers, a special Your Money Matters, hosted by The Worker's Mic and sponsored by Megan Financial, the Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council, and ABOC. Now back to Understanding Data Centers.
Welcome back to this special edition of Worker Wednesday on Your Money Matters, presenting Understanding Data Centers. We are here with our guest, Mark Pruitt. Mark is a principal at the Power Bureau, who's going to be our resident energy expert here today. And one issue we hear a lot about is, how is energy being provided for these? What is the impact on ratepayers? How does this all come together? And, you know, one of the concerns we've heard is, what can be done to improve the existing system? And, you know, what does it mean to actually modernize the grid system?
Phil, that was like 30 questions in one sentence.
Thank you.
I hope you wrote them all down.
Yeah, so I got to get my airtime when I can, guys. So.
That's for sure.
Way to go, Phil.
Thank you.
Well, thanks. I think those are all really insightful. So just starting at the high level, when we talk about modernizing the grid, what we're really talking about is replacing the prior generations of power generation. So we have a lot of incumbent existing natural gas, coal, nuclear power plants. They are all landed. They are all 50, 60, 70 years old. And the question is, okay, do we need new ones? And the answer is yes, right? All infrastructure needs to be replaced. We replace airports. We replace roads. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. The next component are transmission lines. Those are the big power lines that run along the highways,
yep.
And those have to be upgraded. Then there are substations in the local neighborhoods. Those need to be expanded, and then local transmission lines, right? Part of the reason why you need to have modernization is that the system was really set up to be one way. Power was generated, the power plants went through the transmission lines to the local substation to the house. Now we have batteries, solar panels and the like on the homes to generate their own power. And when they generate too much power, more power than what they need, that power, those electrons go back out to the grid.
Yes.
And the grid needs to be built to accommodate that. And it's expensive, right? Replacing anything or upgrading anything is expensive. Anyone who's remodeled the house gets that. So when we're looking at that, it's the cost and the complexity go together just on the technical side. But then there is the human element, and that's where the people get involved. No one single entity controls this entire system.
So this is where I found this really interesting. Explain the hierarchy.
Sure, sure.
Please.
And, you know, just as a quick point, the basic point that I think a lot of consumers are always interested to be reminded of is that ComEd does not own any power plants.
No.
Right? So and when you talk about the hierarchy, so let's talk about it at the federal level. There's the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. Federal Energy Regulatory Commission is responsible for establishing processes and grid that delivers reliability. So they have designated down to regional organizations.
Do they still have any employees?
At FERC? Yeah.
All
yeah,
right.
They do.
Yeah.
Lots
okay.
of attorneys.
There you go.
Lots of attorneys. The regional organizations like PJM, is essentially the air traffic controller. They determine which power plants operate at what times and who and what connects to the regional transmission system. So that system has to always remain in balance. If it doesn't remain in balance, you are what we call Texas. That's what caused the blackouts a couple of years ago.
Yes.
Right. They were out of balance, and that's what the system does when it falls out of balance.
And how many states are part of PJM?
13. Plus the District of Columbia.
Okay.
So they don't own the system, but they control the system. Then you're down to individual companies called IPPs or independent power producers own the power plants. Utilities can own power plants too. We don't do that in Illinois, but they do it next door in Indiana, right? The transmission lines can be owned by private entities, individual corporates, or they could be owned by utilities. Then you get down to the local utility, right? Investor-owned utilities like Commonwealth Edison that then control. So Commonwealth Edison, even though it's part of this hierarchy, really answers over to the Illinois Commerce Commission,
yes,
which determines their rate. So it's a lot of organizations that have to make decisions, sometimes at the same time, sometimes in syndication, right, one after the other, to support these investments. And you know, that has pluses and minuses. And one of the minuses is that we have a lag factor. When something changes in the market, mm-hmm. it's challenging to get all of these interests and approvals aligned. So nimbleness is not something associated with this industry.
Yeah.
How have we done on, as far as a state, as far as keeping up with modernizing the system? I mean, I would figure it's like roads, to your point.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that the state has done a good job. There's been a number of policies that have been taken. We speak in acronyms when we talk about energy policy.
Right.
So there's been FEJA, the Future Energy Jobs Act in 2017. There's CEJA, the Climate and Equitable Jobs Act. And recently we had CERJA. And these have all moved on a number of fronts. From a modernization standpoint, they provide funding to support the deployment of renewable energy, battery energy storage, smart grid, and the like. So the parts are there. The challenge, again, is very few of these decision makers ever want to be on the wrong side of a decision. Hey, let's build a new nuclear power plant. Well, what if the nuclear power plant's not needed?
Right.
What if the demand's not there? Now
sure.
you have what is called in the industry a stranded asset, where consumers have to pay for this.
We don't have to worry about that with data centers, right? Because the demand is obviously built into the center.
Right. And that's why when a data center comes in, the data center can't just say, well, we're going to open up shop and we're going to build here. Mm-hmm. They have to get permissions,
right?
So in Northern Illinois, a data center has to work with Commonwealth Edison and PJM to establish that there's enough generating capacity in the market to mm-hmm. meet the needs of all existing customers plus the new data center.
So let's stop there mm-hmm. because this is the crux of it, right? You see these town hall meetings all over the place. You know, no data center is going to raise our tax rates. How can we protect the consumer in this regard?
So just like you have to get the permission from PJM and ComEd to be able to connect, right? Mm-hmm. A data center must also pay for all the upgrades to the transmission system
okay.
that are necessary to move that power around the region. They also are on the hook to post essentially collateral with Commonwealth Edison to cover all of the expenses that Commonwealth Edison will incur to connect that data center to the regional transmission system. So that's substations, lines, you know, all the things. And then there's the ongoing cost of delivering that electricity that the data center has to pay under a rate structure that's approved by the Public Utility Commission. So they're on the hook for all the hardware and wires.
And they pay that up front?
They pay it up front.
Okay.
Well, the first two up
yeah.
front,
okay.
the hardware, and then the ongoing cost is, yeah. is part of the rate structure. The cost of the energy, and I think this is where most people have their concern, is,
yes.
oh my gosh, we've got this data center, and now I'm paying more, so I must be paying the data center's bill.
Right.
Not how that works. In Northern Illinois, at least, let's keep it local, Northern Illinois, every consumer is responsible for sourcing their own electricity. So they have to go find a retail energy supplier,
yep.
and they have to negotiate their own deal. So if a data center wants to operate in Northern Illinois, they have to go and secure their own supply. And that's a bilateral contract between them and a retail energy supplier. So there really is no overlap between the individual consumer and the data center on the hardware side, on the delivery side. As a matter of fact, the data centers themselves, I was running some numbers here, a 100-megawatt data center is going to pay about $3.5 to $3.7 million a year towards the Illinois Renewable Portfolio Standard. Those are the funds that are used to incentivize wind and solar development in Illinois.
Got it.
They have similar costs that get paid into the state's Energy Efficiency Portfolio Standard, which pays for heat pump incentives for individual consumers. And they're also paying into the job training program. So these are examples of other costs that they're carrying on their own. And I think that that's how I try to look at the data center issue. I don't necessarily view it as good or bad. To me, it's like in the energy industry, everything's a trade-off, right? And the job is to say, look, can I minimize the cost, maximize the benefits? I know there will be cost. You know, are we better off for having O'Hare, you know, another piece of infrastructure?
Sure.
Are we better off for having roads? Are we better off for having the University of Illinois, right, as a set of facilities? Does that bring us a net benefit?
And are we better off having the Bears?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, listen, we got to wrap up. We really appreciate your insight into this. We will be right back with more of this special Worker Wednesday on Your Money Matters. But first, we got to check on weather and traffic.